is and who isn't a Christian? Well, you might think the title that I've given today's sermon is a bit bold, perhaps a bit presumptive of me. But let me say from the outset that this is not an exercise this morning that will equip any of us to judge anyone on their credentials as a follower of Jesus Christ. That task belongs to the Lord alone, just as Jesus clearly illustrated in the parable he told of the sheep and the goats being ultimately separated by the shepherd, and how you and I will be separated on the day of judgment, not only by the profession of faith we make or may not have made, but also by those things that we did or did not do. And what I'd like to do this morning is to help us all think about what it means to be a Christian and how that should influence how we behave as members of the family of God. I think most, if not all of us here this morning, will have come from families which throughout the generations have little, if any, direct lineage to the Jewish people, the nation chosen by God to know his favour and to bear witness to him in the world. Last Sunday, I spoke of how God calls the nations before him. And the nation of Israel was indeed the first nation called by God. But the scriptures, the Bible, the Old and New Testament, these writings are perfectly clear that God, in choosing the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, God chose them to be witnesses to him to all the other nations of the world. Now, these other nations, these other people are in the Bible known as Gentiles. And you and I, if we're not born of Jewish parents, are Gentile people. And it's as members of the Gentile people that we owe so much to this man Barnabas, whom we encounter in our reading this morning from Acts chapter 11. You know, when we look through the New Testament, we discover that this man Barnabas is mentioned in several of the New Testament epistles as well as the Acts of the Apostles. We find him in 1 Corinthians, in Galatians, in Colossians, but of course most fully in this book that we read from this morning, Acts of the Apostles. And this book tells us that Barnabas was a Jew. He was from the Levite tribe. And he became one of the first followers of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. In Acts chapter 13, right at the start of that chapter, it tells us that Barnabas was one of the first teachers of the church at Antioch. And although being Jewish, Barnabas spoke Greek. He was a native of Cyprus. He was a man who possessed land there. We read that in Acts chapter 4. Land which he sold, giving the proceeds of that sale to the church in Jerusalem. As we go through the book of Acts from chapter 4 and chapters 5 and 6, we are told the story of a growing church and the beginnings of persecution of those who had turned to believe in Jesus Christ. We're told of how there appeared to be distinctions being made in that church between the Hellenistic and Greek-speaking Jewish converts, between those who spoke Hebrew and those who spoke Greek. There were distinctions being made in the church. And of course, the converts were still worshipping in the Jewish places of worship. In Acts chapter 6, we're told how seven men were appointed to help the apostles. And the first of these men, at least the first listed, Stephen, well, we see Stephen being brought up on blasphemy charges by the Jews because of things he was speaking in the synagogue. In Acts 7, there follows a quite remarkable Bible lesson given by Stephen to the Jewish leaders, a Bible lesson which results in his being stoned to death. And at the start of chapter 8, we're told almost as a footnote, and Saul was there, giving approval to Stephen's death. Now, Saul, of course, we know better as the Apostle Paul. But he wasn't the Apostle at that stage. In fact, he was a persecutor of these first believers in Jesus Christ. And it was when Saul returned to Jerusalem after his conversion, after he had met with Jesus on the Damascus Road, it was after his return to Jerusalem that this Jewish convert, this other convert from Judaism, Barnabas, took him and introduced Saul to the apostles. We read that in chapter 9. One commentator says that Barnabas and Saul may even have known each other from a time when they were fellow students in the Jewish school of Rabbi Gamaliel. And the New Testament tells us that Barnabas, too, had received a new name. Barnabas appears first in Acts chapter 4, where he is called Joseph. But such was his character among the early believers that he was given a new name by the apostles. They called him Barnabas, and Barnabas certainly lived up to the meaning of his name, son of encouragement. And as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that for a while Barnabas was more prominent in the early church than Paul. We see this throughout Acts, where Barnabas' name often comes first, where the two are written about. We hear of Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Later, of course, it changes to Paul and Barnabas. You see, when the church in Jerusalem heard that Greek speakers were joining the church in Antioch in large numbers, it was the Greek-speaking Barnabas they sent to help in caring for them. And the Acts of the Apostles calls these new converts Hellenists. They spoke Greek. They may have been from one of the many races in the Roman Empire who spoke Greek as a second language, but more likely they were ethnically Jewish people like Barnabas, although it seems that they knew little of the Jewish religion and they spoke little Hebrew. And it quickly became apparent to Barnabas that you can't restrict the message of Jesus to those pious Hebrew-speaking Jews. You have to open it, Barnabas realized, to these Greek-speaking Jews as well, even though they know little of the Jewish faith. And once you open the doors to outsiders, anyone can come in. And thank God, even you and me. You see, thanks to the work of Barnabas and his friend Saul of Tarsus, they had a brand new situation in Antioch. There were Jews from all over the empire. Changes had been made there in Roman law to exempt them from, for instance, making sacrifices to the emperor as though the emperor was a god. And everyone knew who the Jews were. They had Jewish parents, Jewish grandparents. They worshipped in the synagogue. And within the Jewish community itself, there were, of course, many sects. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the followers of John the Baptist, and so on. But they were all Jews. But what were they to call this new group? This group who followed the Jewish prophets called Jesus Christ, and yet who also began to encompass those who were not of the Jewish race. Well, their friends made fun of them. They said, oh, followers of King Herod are called Herodians. So we shall call you, the followers of this man called Christ, Christians or Christians. And so a new word came into the language of the world. Now, few people knew what Christ meant. Something to do with anointing, they said. But here was a convenient label for his followers. And then, when the Hebrew followers of Jesus were expelled from the synagogues by the other Jews, they too became known as Christians, Christians. It was a term applied in mockery. But that term, those words that were designed to hearts, became a badge of pride and a source of strength for these Christians. And today, a third of the world's population now call themselves Christian. And they do that thanks to Barnabas, the son of encouragement, sent from Jerusalem to Antioch to bind together a Greek-speaking and Hebrew-speaking Jewish church and to open the door to those who were not Jewish but who came to faith in Jesus Christ. But who is a Christian? And equally important, who isn't a Christian? Well, as I've said, originally the term was applied indiscriminately to anyone who wanted to know more about Jesus and meet with others who were also interested in what Jesus taught. And then, when they were ready to trust him, these people were baptized. And after that, they could be called the baptized, or they could be called the saints, meaning those who belong to the holy family of Jesus, or quite simply, those who belong to the church. But they still had a lot to learn. And they argued among themselves incessantly about what Jesus had said. And that was all right so long as they remained inclusive, as long as they allowed those who disagreed with them to share the label of Christian. But before long, as we read in the New Testament, some were baptized and then revealed that what they believed was nothing like the beliefs they'd learnt from Jesus. Sometimes they revealed beliefs that were even plain contrary to what Jesus had taught. And they tended to split off. And when they did that, they were called schismatic. Or they formed quite separate communities, and these communities were known as heretics. And sadly, that process has continued down the centuries. And the name of Christian, which was intended to show how inclusive the family of God is, we sing, all are welcome. The name Christian, which was to show that the family of God was a place where all were welcomed, all and sundry were found a place, well, that soon became divisive. You will hear Christians today telling other people, you really aren't a Christian. And there are some people who talk about the day I became a Christian. And that was probably a wonderful emotional experience, a day when they committed their life to Christ and accepted certain doctrines as true. But then, sometimes anyone who hasn't had the identical experience is told that they are not Christian, or not fully Christian. And someone who was on the point of becoming a follower of Jesus may be driven into despair because they don't express their emotions in that way. And then they may be lost forever because of the narrow-mindedness of those who want to make the title of Christian exclusive to people like us. I think that would make Barnabas, the son of encouragement, very sad. It would make Jesus sad too. Jesus, who told his apostles to go and make disciples of people from all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus must weep when what was meant to be the open, tolerant, diverse family of God is turned into an exclusive coterie. So who is a Christian? Who isn't a Christian? Honestly, God alone knows. All we need to know is this, that all men and women can be our brothers and sisters, and that the love of Christ is big enough to embrace us all. Let's pray.